This week we're looking at chapter 14 of Saving Faith, and I will read with you paragraphs 2 and 3. By this faith a Christian believeth to be true whatsoever is revealed in the Word, for the authority of God Himself speaking therein, and acteth differently upon that which each particular passage thereof contains, yielding obedience to the commands, trembling at the threatenings, and embracing the promises of God for this life and that which is to come. But the principal acts of saving faith are accepting, receiving, and resting upon Christ alone for justification, sanctification, and eternal life by virtue of the covenant of grace. This faith is different in degrees, weak or strong, may be often in many ways assailed and weakened, but gets the victory, growing up in many to the attainment of a full assurance through Christ, who is both the author and finisher of our faith. The first paragraph in this chapter told us who works saving faith and how. The second paragraph asks what faith does and in whom it's placed. It begins by telling us that a Christian believes to be true whatsoever is revealed in the Word. Christians need to be like the Samaritan villagers who heard Jesus speak and trusted Him completely because they came to know that He was the Christ. But it's not merely the words of Jesus that we must trust. No, saving faith trusts the whole of the Bible and does so because of the full authority of God speaking in it. Really, the Samaritans ought to have believed in Christ without actually having to meet Him, for they could have believed the Old Testament record that God gave about His Son. This trust in the Old Testament, in fact, this trust in all that God had revealed, characterized Paul. He not only worshipped the God of his fathers, but he did so, he says, believing all things which were written in the law and in the prophets. It is this faith that Paul also wanted to see in others, and he commends the Thessalonians for their willingness to receive the Word of God. This paragraph in the confession explains that a trust in the Word of God ought to be a defining mark of a Christian believer. It goes on to point out that different passages in God's Word have different emphases. We need to heed the meaning of each passage of Scripture and act accordingly. This is important for our understanding of biblical interpretation. The divines assume, quite rightly, that we cannot draw any possible point out of any passage. We need to pay attention to what the Bible is saying. Nor can we, or should we, make the same point out of all passages. A preacher should not be expecting to find the same hobby horse waiting for him to ride in every biblical text. We need to see if a passage is commanding, or threatening, or promising. But we should also see that if passages have different emphases, then they also should receive different responses. The Apostle Paul explained to the Roman Christians that obedience needed to accompany their faith. The prophet Isaiah emphasized that God wanted people to tremble at His message. And before Paul or Isaiah, patriarchs like Abel and Enoch, Noah and Abraham, were taught to embrace God's promises in faith. So, faith accepts the whole of God's Word and seeks to act as God requires, and to trust what God promises, both for this life and that which is to come. But faith does have a special focus. The principal thing that faith does is to receive Christ, as John puts it, to believe in Christ, as Peter puts it, or to accept Christ, to rest on Christ, as the confession puts it here. No matter how it's said, the point is that faith does not simply look to promises, nor does faith look to the blessings that Christ brings to Christians only, such as the forgiveness of sins or the gift of righteousness. No, faith looks to Jesus Christ. Of course, it's only through Christ that justification and sanctification and eternal life are made realities for sinners. We make no attempt to isolate Jesus from all the benefits to come to us, that come to us through Him when we believe in Him. After all, it's by virtue of His gospel, His covenant of grace that we're saved. But when we are spreading the good news, it should always be clear that the good news is Jesus Himself. It is through our Savior that all blessings flow. Is that not just what John was saying when he explained that those who receive Christ become sons of God? Is that not what Peter meant when he told the Philippian jailer to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved? In both cases, the answer must be yes. Our hope of eternal life is placed in Christ, for we believe it's through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved, just as they are. This is certainly what Paul was teaching when he told the Galatians to look to Christ, for the life we live is lived by faith in the Son of God. For Paul, this was the only hope, for as he explained, it was Jesus who loved me and gave himself for me. This confidence in Christ, indeed a firm faith in the whole of God's Word, ought to characterize every Christian, but it does not. And so the final paragraph of chapter 14 makes one final point. Christians with even a small degree of self-awareness know that faith not only varies in strength from person to person, but also varies in strength within our individual experience. There are some Christians the scripture calls babes needing milk. Some are adults needing meat. The Bible refers to those who are weak in faith and to those who are strong in faith. And our Lord comforted those of little faith and delighted in those of great faith. The reality is that our faith is often assailed by sin, suffering, and the devil. And it's at times even weakened. It becomes small. A robust confidence of our salvation in Christ is not the constant companion of every Christian. After all, our Lord himself prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. And Paul urged the Ephesians to take up the shield of faith to protect themselves from the same enemy that attacked Peter. But that's not the note to end on, either for Christians or for this paragraph. For we also need to remember that there is a victory for Christians. And indeed, the Apostle John tells us that the very existence of our faith is in some way the victory that overcomes the world. Although we are often tempted, the experience of many Christians is to have a full assurance of faith in our salvation and in a final victory, even in the midst of our greatest trials. The writer to the Hebrews speaks of a full assurance of hope that comes from faith and patience. Elsewhere, he urges us to draw near to God in full assurance of faith. This is not a blind trust, but one that Paul can call a full assurance of understanding. And the one we are to hope and trust and to understand is Jesus. This is really the most important thing to understand about faith, that we're always to be found fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God, where he continues to intercede for us.